Well, I'm going to give a sermon that I gave in St. Louis in December of 2018. And this sermon seemed even more relevant today, so that's why I thought I'd do this one. But I'll start off by saying, you know, that it's been almost 2 years now. It was on August 18th of 2018 that we lost one of the greatest R&B soul singers ever. That was Aretha Franklin. She was the queen of soul. If I were to ask you what song you think of when you hear the name Aretha Franklin, what would that song be? Probably Respect. 1967, Aretha's signature song, Respect, was released. I remember that well. You know, I was a young kid in junior high school at the time, and listening to the pop radio stations, and I definitely remember that song when it hit the airwaves and stuff. It was an incredible song. It charted number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, ranked number one on the U.S. Hot R&B and Hip-Hop songs. And everyone desires to be respected. I mean, that's what the song was all about. You know, she wanted her man to respect her, and then she asked for that respect. And isn't that what all of us really want? We want to be respected. We all desire to be respected by other people. Some feel that being respected is a sign that they're superior or higher up on the food chain. You know, they almost demand that respect. You know, I'm such a great person. You need to respect me. Others look at respect as just being treated in a civil manner. Just treat me like I'm a human being. Treat me nicely. And if we want to be treated with respect, what must we do to get that respect? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We're going to look at the subject of respect. We're going to see what the scriptures have to say on the subject, because there is a lot to say in the scriptures. It's a subject that I feel needs to be addressed, especially when you look at what's going on in society today. This, like I said, this sermon is even more relevant today than it was when I gave it back in 2018. The subject that addresses a lot of the decline that we're seeing in respect that's happening in our society every single day. And we have to be on guard, brethren, that society's values do not rub off on us in the church. It's so easy to do because we leave here on the Sabbath and we have to interact with the world around us. And it's so easy for those attitudes to rub off on us if we're not careful. So what is respect? What does respect mean? Well, if you go to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and this is one of the things I like to do, I always like to go to the dictionary, see what does the dictionary define the term, and then I look and see what the scriptures say about it. But the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines respect as a high or special regard. A high or special regard. Synonyms of respect include admire, appreciate, to consider, to esteem, or to regard. So we'll look at some of those terms. Regard, respect, esteem, and admire. They basically mean to recognize the worth of a person or a thing. To regard is a general term that is usually qualified as he is highly regarded in his field or in his profession. That's how a person gets some respect. Respect implies a considered evaluation or estimation, such as after many years they came to respect her views. Esteem implies a greater warmth of feeling accompanying a high valuation. So no citizen of the town was more highly esteemed than, you know, whoever it might be that was so highly esteemed in that citizen or that town. To admire suggests usually enthusiastic appreciation and often deep affection, a friend that I truly admire, sitting back in the back row. However, I prefer what I consider to be the definitive biblical definition of respect. If you would turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 12. Matthew 7, verse 12. Matthew 7, verse 12, we read, and I'm going to read this from two different translations. First, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Matthew 7, verse 12 says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." The New Living Translation, I like the way it puts it. It says, "Do it to others whatever you would like them to do to you." You know, that was a question I asked at the front. What do we have to do if we want respect from other people? Well, this is it. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. And it goes on to say, this is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. So respect is a major part of God's word. We may not have thought of it in that way before, but it's the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Now, this is what we call the golden rule. If we wish to be treated with respect by others, then we have to be prepared to treat them with respect first. And one thing I've often noted is that there were no exceptions there. It didn't say, do this all the, you know, except on these occasions. You know, there's occasions you don't have to do it. It doesn't give us any outs. Regardless of the way other people treat us, we have to treat other people the way that we would want to be treated. Oftentimes what we see today is a lack of respect, as I mentioned earlier. Our culture today seems to be based on a foundation of disrespect. And there is no respect for authority or anything in this society today. It's becoming such a society of anarchy. Nobody respecting anyone else. I want to read a couple of quotes that were given by people. This first one says, "What is happening to our young people? They disrespect their elders. They disobey their parents. They ignore the law. They riot in the streets inflamed with wild notions. Their morals are decaying. What is to become of them?" Next quote is, "The young people of today think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or old age. They are impatient of all restraint. They talk as if they alone knew everything, and what passes for wisdom with us is foolishness with them. As for girls, they were forward, immodest, and unwomanly in speech, behavior, and dress." You probably won't be able to guess who made those quotes. What may surprise you is that these quotes were made from Plato, and the second one was from Socrates. Even then, I mean, what the scriptures tell us, there's nothing new under the sun. Even at that time, Plato and Socrates were complaining about the lack of respect that was going on. What would they think if they were alive now and saw what was going on in society? They'd probably say, yeah, that's the way it was back home too. But it just amazes me that you can look back in history and see that it's not really anything new, but it just seems to be getting worse. But another quote that I'd like to give, another one that wrote about the times that we would see today. This is from Paul, if you turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul writes here, talking about these days, the end times. Paul says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." He didn't say may come, he said they will come. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal," which means cruel, "despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, body, lovers of pleasure, I mean, Paul just keeps going on and on about what the days, things are going to be like in these days. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, if you take the time, this is your homework assignment. Take the time to study each of those descriptions of what mankind will be like in the end times, and you will find a direct connection with each of those to disrespect. For instance, lovers of themselves, they have no respect for the lives of others. You look at the abortion industry, there's no respect for life. They come out with a slogan about the Black Lives Matter, but we know as Christians that all lives matter. To God, all lives matter. And there shouldn't be any distinction for any particular human being. And that goes for the unborn. As I said, the abortion industry kills countless people and babies every single day. Lovers of themselves rather than with no respect for the lives of others. Lovers of money. No respect for God or others as lovers of money. They cheat. They commit fraud. Set up casinos and just want to take people's money with people hoping for that big payoff that they may never get. This is what's going on. I'd like to read a short article that was in the Good News, or the Good News, Beyond Today, I think, the magazine. Bring that up here real quick. This was written by John Ross Schrader. It was in the 2004 Beyond Today. And it was titled, "The Disturbing Decline in Respect for Biblical Values." It's only a quick two-minute read, and I'll just read through it real quickly here. But he writes in this article, says, "Have you recently experienced a driver carelessly cutting in front of you?" Oh, yeah. And I have to watch my temper when that happens. "Or walk past a group of youths who hurled abuse at you without provocation?" We're seeing a lot of that today. Now, this was written in 2004. "What about people pushing in line? Today we see a serious and growing erosion of traditional biblical values, such as respect for the rights and dignity of others. For example, newspaper columnist Melanie Phillips has lamented the waning of the quality of respect of the British Isles. She wrote, "You can see examples everywhere in the myriad incivilities of everyday life. The shouting and the swearing in the streets. The lighted cigarettes dangled carelessly in children's faces by rush hour crowds. The casual slovenliness on the tube," which is the Underground Railway, "as passengers antisocially chomp their way through hamburgers and leave rubbish littering the carriages. You see it in schools where teachers find it increasingly impossible to impose their authority upon badly behaved pupils. British Home Secretary David Blunkett blamed parents who failed to accept responsibility for instilling values of respect in their families and a breakdown of neighborliness in villages, towns, and cities. Relationships in the West are becoming increasingly fragile. Our countries are full of broken marriages, lonely people, single mothers, confused and uncared for children, accompanied by a marked decline in courtesy, civility, and just plain good manners. Even driving courtesy has suffered in recent years, and road rage is becoming all too common. One of the fundamental reasons for this general decline in traditional values is the pervasive ignorance of biblical standards. We need to emphasize the restoration of respect for the God who created human beings and for the laws He established for our good. Needed is a change of heart," and that's the only answer to society's solution or problems. We need a change of heart. It's a heart problem. It isn't a money problem, that not enough people are getting the amount of money they need. It's a heart problem. Turning in an altogether different direction, one of love and respect for others by obedience to God's basic spiritual law, the Ten Commandments. As God said of ancient Israel, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. They said that was written back in 2004, and it has so much relevance to today. We've seen this loss of respect. And it was as a child, I grew up having to learn respect for others. And it was instilled in me as a child. Teachers were called by their last names, Mr. and Mrs. or Miss, whoever the teacher might be, using those proper titles. You addressed other adults in a similar fashion. If you disobeyed in school, not only did you face the prospect of discipline at school, but you also faced the prospect of facing it again when you got home. You had to take that note home and give it to your parents about what you did at school. Unfortunately, today, the parents get upset with, how dare you discipline my child? It's gone to the opposite extremes. Civility was what was expected, though. You always had your rebels that were going to defy respect. I even remember in my own neighborhoods, neighbors watched out for one another. I could be two blocks away, and I could be disrespectful to some parent. I'd get home and find out my parents already heard about it. And I paid the price when I'd get home. That's what respect was about. That's what family, neighborhoods were like one large family, and everybody looked out for one another. But you don't see that today. Is it too late for society to turn things around? According to what Paul wrote to Timothy about the last days, I'd have to say it is too late. But even Nineveh was able to repent and change their ways at one time after Jonah came and preached to them. So it is possible, but if what we see is prophesied by Paul about the last days, I'd say it's almost too late. But it isn't too late for those of us who worship God and have the opportunity to make changes in our lives. It's not too late to instill a sense of respect into our own children. We just need to look to the Scriptures for instruction on how we go about doing this. A good place to start on learning about respect would be 1 Peter 2, and we'll go read through verses 11 through 17 in 1 Peter 2. So you turn there, 1 Peter 2, verses 11 through 17. I'll begin to read from that. Peter wrote, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable," means having your conduct respectable, "among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation." They may hate us today, but if they see our actions, they're going to come up in a resurrection. They're going to say, "I remember him. I may not have liked him, but he was a good person. He did the things that God asked of him." We have to set that example now. "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether the king is supreme or to governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God." And then he concludes in verse 17, "Honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Are we, brethren, as the people of God, showing the proper respect to others that is expected of us? If we want other people to treat us with respect, we have to be respectful. As we aged into adulthood, did we forget those things we were taught as a child? What was the book that came out at one time, "Everything I Needed in Life"? I learned in kindergarten how not to be selfish, how to treat people respectfully, and then things like that. Did we lose that as we grew into adulthood? Do we only show respect of those that we deem worthy of our respect? Do we have to like someone or approve of them to show them respect? How do we teach our children to show respect? To answer these questions, let's look at two specific areas in which we can apply the concepts that Peter wrote about in this letter. 2 Peter 2:12, once again, I'll read from that. Having your conduct honorable, as I said, means respectful among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And then again in verses 15 through 16, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but rather as bondservants of God. In other words, we need to live what we speak. We need to talk the talk, but we also need to walk the walk. It is our example that speaks the loudest. What kind of example do we express? What kind of example do other people see in us when they look at us? Are we examples of respect for one another? I ask the question, do we have to like someone or approve of them to respect them? Do we deem some people worthy of our respect and others not worthy? Do we judge a person based upon their appearance and show respect accordingly? No, don't judge a book by its cover. We can't be respecters of persons. Every time I hear that phrase, it takes me back to my days living in Springfield, Missouri. I had only been in the church a few years at that point. Had a real good friend, and we loved to get together on weekends and some of the evenings during the week and play Risk with one another. And the gentleman that I was a roommate with, he was a good Risk player. Oh, he was good. So the rest of us knew if we have any chance, we have to take him out of the game first. Because that's the only way we're going to have a chance to win, because he is so good at this. He got upset. I remember he basically almost threw the game off the table. You guys are being respecters of persons. And I was like, yeah, we are respecting you. We're respecting your ability to play the game. But yeah, he would never play Risk with us ever again after that. He's still a good friend. He attends church down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But you know, that was just, you know, that's what I think of when I hear that phrase, being a respecter of persons. But are we respecters of persons? Our example in the way that we live must be one of living by the standards that we espouse. Otherwise, we're nothing more than hypocrites. And others will see that. If we say that one thing and we're living our lives in a different way altogether, people will see that. There's a popular phrase that says, hate the sin, love the sinner. Some people object to that phrase because it implies that the other person is a sinner and you're not. Well, the scriptures plainly state that we're all sinners. You know, we can read Romans 3:23 that says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Or 1 John 1:8. Where it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So if we use that phrase, hate sin but love the sinner, we're not implying that we are without sin ourselves. What I see that phrase saying is that even if a person is an unrepentant sinner, we should still love that person and show them respect, even though we disapprove and hate the sin which they are committing. They're still a human being. They're still a potential child of God. And we can't treat them with disrespect and expect them to treat us in some type of respectful manner. We may hate what they're doing with their lives. We may hate the sin that they're committing, but we have to love and respect that individual. If we treat them with disrespect, others will see our hypocrisy. And who sees our hypocrisy more than any other? If we have children, it's our children. We set the example for our children. They see our actions more than they hear our words. Now, I can remember growing up, my dad was a smoker. "Don't you start smoking," you know, as he's sitting there puffing on his cigarette. I'm like, okay, maybe you need to live this yourself. But that's what children see. They see our actions more than they hear our words. So if we're being hypocrites in front of our children, they see that. Do we teach them to be respectful? Yet they hear us talk disparagingly about others. You know, my wife, as she was growing up, her mom was in the church. They were attending in Pasadena at the time, when she was little girl, about 4 years old. But she can remember her dad would sometimes go to church just so he could see, hear what was going on. And he'd start disparaging everything on the way home. And as her mom finally told him, "Look, if that's what you're going to be, don't even bother going anymore." And thankfully, later in life, he did become a baptized member of God's church. But that's what she can remember. She remembers, you know, here her father would try to teach her to be respectful, but she would hear things like that. And it made an imprint on her, on her memory. I mean, she was only 4 years old, but she remembers that. So our children are going to hear these things. They're going to see our actions. And we have to be sure that if we're going to teach them to respect others, that we have to show that same respect. You know, do they hear us gossiping? You know, that's another matter. Galatians 6:7, Paul wrote there, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." What are we sowing in our children? Because whatever we sow in our children, that's what we're going to reap in our children. Our witness is stronger than our words. Our witness is longer than our words. How will we be remembered? If we were to unfortunately die before Christ arrives, what will people remember about you? Will they remember the good things? Or will they remember the bad? You will be remembered mostly in how you treated other people and the impact that you had on them. A few years ago, I learned of the death of he was my guidance counselor in both junior high and high school. His name was Max Blinder. He was Jewish. So I heard that they were having a funeral, and so I went to this Jewish synagogue. I've never seen so many people in my life at a funeral. It was just amazing. But he was so influential on my life when I was in high school. And it was incredible to hear people giving up and giving testimony about him. Just what an impact he made on other people's lives. After he was no longer a guidance counselor, he went into counseling and other things after that. Very well respected. But that's what way he was remembered. He wasn't remembered as a bad person. And that's what we want to be remembered as. We, you know, especially we want God to remember us as a good person. That we did show respect, that we treated others as we wanted to be treated. Another aspect of disrespect is that of indifference. Indifference is a sign of disrespect. You know, a sure way to destroy the relationship you have with someone else is to be indifferent to them. When you feel nothing towards that person at all, you just treat them indifferently. Indifference is not caring anything at all about the other person at all. It's a lack of love and respect. Do we treat people indifferently? When we hear the prayer requests like we heard today, are we indifferent to their need for healing? Does calamity to others affect you, or do you find yourselves feeling indifferent to them? Now, Mr. Ron Bell here, he mentioned, you know, the Craig Mason back in St. Louis. I just got an update today. He's got pneumonia now too, and so it's not getting any better right now. They've got him on all kinds of medication. So not only is he suffering with the fracture and everything else that he had, now he's got pneumonia, and they can't even do a COVID test on him because he's not expectorating enough that they can get a sample So they can't even, you know, so she's not allowed to go in to see her husband until they can determine one way or not whether he's COVID negative or not. So when we hear these prayer requests, how are we indifferent to them? Do they impact us in some way? Do we think about these people and really pray for them? I know when I had to go in for a hospital as Passover came this year, because I thought maybe I was having a heart attack. And it turned out to be angina. I was very thankful for that. But I immediately was asking for prayers, and I knew how important it was for God's people to be praying for me. So it's important for all of us to pray for one another. Let's turn to Galatians 6, verses 3 through 4. Galatians 6, 3 through 4. Galatians 6, 3 through 4 tells us, so for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each one of us examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I give this sermon because we all need to examine ourselves. We need to think about God's word and look to become better. Do we walk the walk, or do we just talk the talk? You know, we may be able to fool others, but we will not fool God in the long run. I'd also ask the question, who do I show respect to? Well, again, back in 1 Peter 2:17, we don't need to turn back to that, we already read it, but 1 Peter 2:17 concluded Peter's comments with, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Peter doesn't leave anyone out in that equation as to who we should show respect to. He didn't make any exceptions. I mentioned earlier, there's no, well, if this person acts like this, then I don't have to show them any respect. There is no exceptions. And Peter basically says, honor all people. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, if you turn there, please. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Read here what Matthew wrote. Once again, Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, talking about Jesus Christ, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That last part sounds familiar. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Remember, we read back in Matthew 7, verse 12, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Love and respect are mutually inclusive. I like to think of them as being two sides of the same coin. Respect can't exist without love, and love can't exist without respect. You have to have both. If you look at the law, brethren, you look at the commandments that God gave, you look at the statutes, you look at all those and think about it carefully, does it not show how to respect God and man? And you think of, you know, if your ox gores somebody, you know, what you're supposed to do. If it's all about showing respect for other people. You look at the commandments. It starts off with respect for God. And the last six show how to respect your neighbor, your fellow human beings. Respect is so tied in to God's way of life. So let's look at some specific examples of who we're to respect and how to show that respect. Can't go anywhere without showing respect for God. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." This is a set of verses we're very familiar with. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." That's what Matthew was quoting from. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." God demands that we put Him at the center of our lives, and not to put anything else before Him. When we look through history, we continually see man worshiping the creation over the Creator, showing complete disrespect for God. Ancient peoples worshiped the forces of nature. They worshiped the sun, the moon, and the stars, as well as Mother Earth. They had the gods of thunder, the gods of lightning, the gods of rain, the gods of fire. And it just went on and on. Everything had a god to it. Yet even in our enlightened age, man still worships the creation over the Creator. You have things like astrology, evolution, climate change, all of these things where they're worshiping creation over the Creator, putting something else between them and God. In Romans 1:25, I'll read from the New Living Translation, Romans 1:25. Paul wrote there, he says, "They traded the truth about God for a lie." Isn't that what the world has done today? They traded the truth of God as far as creation with evolution. You know, they looked to the stars for guidance in their lives. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. This is the first commandment's powerful message, brethren. We are to worship and serve our Creator, the miracle-working God who led ancient Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and to credit our existence and our blessings to no other source than God Himself. We are to love, respect, and honor Him, to have a genuine personal relationship with Him. And that was written in our booklet on the Ten Commandments. That's what I quoted that from. See, one of the reasons we go to the Feast of Tabernacles, we're talking about the feast, and then we're wondering what's going to happen. Are we going to have a feast? But one of the important lessons of going to the Feast of Tabernacles was to learn to fear the Lord our God, as is brought out in Deuteronomy 14:23. That's one of the reasons we go to the feast, learn to fear God. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to learn how to be scared to death of God, but to fear God is to have a profound awe and respect for Him. And that's what's lacking in society today. There is no respect for God. There is no awe of Him. I mean, they use His name in vain every time they turn around. Somebody gets something, you know, you've heard the phrase, I don't need to repeat it. But they constantly use His name, but they have no concept of God. They don't respect Him. They don't live in awe of Him. And that's brought out in Psalms 36, verses 1 through 4. Psalms 36, 1 through 4. I believe it was David that wrote this one, but it says, "An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before His eyes." Again, Psalms 36, verses 1 through 4. "For he flatters himself in his own eyes, when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil." Again, that's a description of society as we see today. The end times that Paul was talking about. And again, a quote from the Ten Commandments booklet, "We should love, honor, and respect Him," talking about God, "so much that He alone is the supreme authority and model in our lives. We should allow nothing to come before Him and to prevent us from serving and obeying Him." So we have to have that respect, that fear of God. The scriptures talk about it constantly. Another that we need to show respect for is our parents. Leviticus 19 verse 3 tells us, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Now both parts of that verse are from the Ten Commandments. They're the only commandments that are not of the positive shape, as it's called, meaning that they do not begin with the phrase, thou shalt not. These are positive commandments. Love, revere, and love your mother, and honor your mother and your father, and keep the Sabbath, to remember the Sabbath day. But do we notice that there's no age restriction on the commandment to revere and respect our mother and father? It's not just applying to children. This isn't a commandment that just applies to them, but it applies to those of us who are still fortunate to have our parents with us. Do we still honor them and show them respect? And my mother, I lost my father when I was in college, but my mother's still alive. She's in her 80s now, and she's always reminding me of this quote. She's always throwing this quote at me. A son is a son until he takes a wife, but a daughter is a daughter all of her life. Yeah, I'm horrible about calling my mom and checking in with her and talking with her, unlike my dear, sweet sister, who's always over there helping out in some way. I'm not showing, you know, this is something I struggle with, I need to work on. You know, I hate to be on the phone, I hate talking on the telephone. But it's something I have to do before it's too late. I won't always have my mother with me. And so, you know, this is personally something I need to work on. But that's something we all need to recognize. If our parents are still alive, we need to show them the respect that they deserve. It's the respect that God tells us that we have to show them. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Children should be taught respect for their parents. Learning to respect parents leads to learning respect for all authority. And that's going to lead to living long on the earth, as it says. Former FBI chief J. Edgar Hoover once claimed that the child who has been taught to honor the Ten Commandments will have little trouble following the laws of the land. Keeping God's commandments, especially the Fifth Commandment, teaches respect for leadership and authority. If you learn to honor and respect your parents, you're going to learn in the long run to respect authority and the laws around you. Our children will also learn by the example we set by honoring our own parents. If they see it, once again, going back to the hypocrisy, if they see us dishonoring our own parents, they say, well, you're not living the way you're trying to teach me to live. But you have to set that example. But children, remember this, as parents, we also have to respect you. This respect goes both ways. Do we respect our children or other people's children? Ephesians 6, 4, continuing where we left off, when he's talking about parents or children obeying your parents. He continues in Ephesians 6, verse 4 here, says, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. See, we can demand respect from our children, but do we show them respect as well? Are we the same loving parents to our children as what our God is to us, as our Father? We see the kind of love that our Father in heaven expresses to us. Do we turn around and give that same respect to our children? Or do we provoke our children to wrath? How do we treat our children in general? Matthew 18, verses 2 through 6. Matthew 18, 2 through 6. We read the words of Jesus here. It says, then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you're converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. In other words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Christ loved children. We need to recognize that the little children we have in our midst are future children of God, just as we are. They should be given respect just as much as we expect respect from them. Ooh, try saying that six times quick. Remember the golden rule. Children are perceptive. They know if you truly care or if you're dismissive. And this goes with how we treat the other children in the congregation. Do we, just kind of, I was known as kind of a mean deacon at one time because I was always yelling at the kids, get off that, stay off of it, And, it was brought to my attention, be more receptive to the children. Don't just dismiss them. Interact with them. Get to know them. You can still tell them to stay off things, but do it from a way of getting to know the children. And that's what we need to do with the children in the church. Get to know them. Respect them. Show them that we care. Respect for the elderly. It's another area. Leviticus 19:32 tells us, you shall rise before the gray-headed and the bald-headed, and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord. It used to be a custom to rise from your seats when your elders entered a room. It was a show of respect for them. Lack of respect from the youth today. I don't know how many saw the video on the news where the lady was walking down the street and this thug was walking by and just punched her and knocked her into the ground and she hit her head on a fire hydrant. There's just no respect. I used to ride our light rail system in St. Louis to go to work in downtown St. Louis. And you'd see young people, they wouldn't give up their seats for the elderly. I paid for my ticket, I'm sitting right here, you can stand. There's no respect. There are ways that we can show respect for our elders. Dress them properly. Shake their hands. Maybe not so much anymore, but the mandates are out there. Bump elbows with them or whatever we have to do, but show that respect. Speak clearly and without slang. Sometimes young people use terms that I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't understand that word or that slang. Make eye contact and smile. Offer assistance if it's needed. Give your time and attention. I always loved it back in St. Louis. We got this older gentleman. He's a really good friend of mine. I kind of look out for him. We'd get to services ahead of, he'd always be at services before me, but I'd come in, he'd be sitting at the cookie table, sitting there eating a snack, and there was this young lady, always sitting there opposite from him, always talking with him. And he couldn't understand half of what people were saying because he has hearing aids and lost hearing in one ear. But I appreciated so much that this young lady would sit there and talk with him. She didn't have a lot in common with him, but she gave him her time and attention. Show your love. Show good manners to the elderly. One of the problems we have is our children be running around after services, and unfortunately, it's a possibility of knocking somebody off their feet. We have to be careful. We have to respect our elders. Respect for our spouse. Here's a good one. Ephesians 5:22-33 gives those of us who are married direction on how to respectfully treat our spouse. Men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5:33 says, nevertheless, let each one of you, in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. I remember a lady come in one time, she goes, see what that says? It says, men have to love their wife, but it doesn't say the wife has to love her husband. She just has to respect him, right? Well, I brought out, love and respect are two sides of that same coin. You can't have one without the other. So there was no getting out of that. The wives have to love their husbands too, not just respect them. Respect requires love. I said you can't respect someone without love, and if you love someone, you will show them respect. But do we fail to show the respect we should at times? Remember the danger of indifference. If we show indifference to our spouses, it will affect the relationship. Do we show them the love and respect that they deserve and that we should be giving them? Do we belittle our spouse in front of others? Do we make fun of them? Do we make them feel small in front of others? You know, we may not think that's what we're doing, but you know, I had my wife point that out to me one time. I said something, and when we got home, she let me know that it made her feel little in the eyes of others, and I had to profoundly apologize for that. We don't want to cause friction in our marriages. We have to respect one another, to love one another. What about respect for authority? That seems to be a major problem today. Respect for authority. Titus 3, verses 1 through 2. Titus 3, verses 1 through 2. See here it says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Boy, do I struggle with that one. I want, you know, especially the part about speaking evil of no one. You see some of these politicians today, you want to say things about them, but you know, that's something also I struggle with. You can't. You have to respect the individual. You may not like what they stand for, but you have to respect them. You have to speak no evil of them. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Paul was writing to the Romans. Romans 13, 1 through 7, and you know, Paul was dealing with authority. And pretty much the abuse of the authority against him. But he writes this in Romans 13, 1 through 7. He says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. God put these authorities in place. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. We see too many examples of disrespect towards our government leaders today and our authority figures, and we have to be very careful not to get caught up in that same behavior ourselves. We don't have to approve of them, as I said, but we have to show them respect. You know, of course, thereafter is if you don't agree with me, I can attack you. You know, we see that this lack of tolerance. But we can't be that way ourselves. There is no excuses for us to be able to get out of treating others the way we would want to be treated. Respect for our employers, employees. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, don't just be doing your job, just try to get on the boss's good side, but put your heart into it. Because that's what you would want other people to do for you if they were working for you. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, you know, it doesn't leave out the employer either. And you masters, do the same to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. You know, if you're an employer, you have to treat your employees fairly. And as an employee, you have to treat your employer respectfully. Respect for church leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. We have to show respect for our church leaders. Men like Mr. Kudick and those that are doing the Beyond Today and the ministry, we have to show them our respect. Take instruction from those placed in positions of authority. You know, that's the one thing we have to do. We have to take those instructions. 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And then, to top it all off, as I said in 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people. We respect everyone. I'm giving you examples of certain areas where we can show respect, but when it comes down to it, we have to show respect to everyone. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. It means to show respect to him, that deep awe and respect. Honor the king. Respect the king. Respect authority. Again, Paul writes in Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. To treat other people the way that you would want to be treated. Do we deem someone unworthy of our respect? Do we have somebody out there we think does not deserve our respect? Matthew 7, verse 1 tells us, judge not, that you be not judged. In other words, don't condemn that person in such a way. That doesn't mean that you don't recognize if there's sin involved, but we don't say, oh, that person's going to end up in a lake of fire, or they're never going to be amount to anything. We don't know what that person's future may hold. Judge not, that you be not judged. So, you know, some bullet points here is that realize that others are fellow heirs to God's family. We talked about family there in the sermonette. Realize that others are fellow heirs. They will eventually be part of God's family too. Keep confidences confidential. If you confide in somebody, you would expect them to keep that confidential. We have to do the same thing if somebody confides in us with something. Keep it to ourselves. Avoid talking about others, gossiping. Learn to listen to others. You know, sometimes a person finds himself trying to think of the words they already want, you know, they're already ready to speak after the other person's finished speaking. But are we taking the time to listen? If I'm speaking, I would appreciate somebody actually listen to what I'm trying to say. But do we give that same courtesy when others are talking? Do we listen to them? Don't ask someone to do something that you wouldn't do yourself. That can be a difficult one at times. That's not a job I want to do, but hey, would you take care of that? We always have to be willing to do a job if we're going to ask somebody else to do that. We need to learn to love people. That's what we're supposed to be growing in God's Spirit. Develop a sincere warmth to make people want to come to us. You know, are we warm? Are we loving? Do people see that when they come into our congregations? Does it make them want to feel like they belong there? And don't think so highly of ourselves that we're easily offended. You know, we shouldn't allow ourselves to become easily offended by things. You know, it usually happens if we think a little bit too highly of ourselves. As a conclusion, brethren, you know, examining ourselves is not something that's limited to just the period right before Passover. You know, we concentrate a lot on that. But examining ourselves is something we need to be doing every single day of the year, not just that short period of time before the Passover arrives. Now, especially in the way things are in this world today, now is the time to begin examining ourselves to see where we can improve and ask God for His help. Ask God to help us in the area of respect if we think we're lacking. If we lack respect, has reached epidemic levels in society today. And we don't want that to rub off on our attitudes. We can't let it infect us like the virus. Respect all people. Love your fellow Christians. Respect God above all else.